Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said the fellow who blows his horn the loudest is usually in the biggest fog. We're happy to have the privilege again of coming your way with our Bible Meditations program. All right, we return now to our study. We found the basis for it in 1 Kings chapter 22 when we were reading about a prophet named Micaiah. Micaiah was one of God's prophets who was willing to speak the truth of God in spite of what others said about it. The king of Judah and the king of Israel decided that they would go do battle with Ramoth Gilead. And they wanted to know, would they be victorious if they did that? When they consulted the prophets, they found 400 who were in agreement with their action. But one prophet, named Micaiah, was asked about it. He was given warning ahead of time. Now, 400 people have said it's this way. You just go along with them. But when it came his time to speak, he simply said, I can only speak those things that the Lord says to me. And so he was not about to be swayed by the number of people who had already given their appraisal. And he pointed out the fact that when they went to do battle, they'd win the victory, but that they would be without their leader because the king would be killed. Well, certainly we have people in our world today who decide what they're going to teach and what they're going to preach on the basis of what most people think. The majority evidently must be right, they reason, in regard to religion. However, that's not Bible teaching. The Bible teaches that rightness is certainly important and that it's not determined by a head count. We don't decide, well, is it right to say a certain thing because we have so many people who say it, but rather on the basis of what God has revealed in His Word. We must speak only those things that God has authorized. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, Peter says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So if there's anything to be said in religion, it must be according to God's will. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 and 2, Peter tells us there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth is evil spoken of. So the passage says that there would be some depart from the faith, some who would hold to the doctrines and the commandments of men above what God has instructed. Well, what can we do about that? We must but speak those things that the Lord has said. We are not at liberty to line up with the majority and to reject the teachings of the gospel based on a number of people rejecting it. Well, when it comes to our present day, there are a lot of people determining what they say in religion by what others have already determined. They have the idea, well, if there's a number of people standing one way on this matter in religion, then it will have to be right, because majority rules. However, we are thankful there are some, like the prophet Micaiah, who's willing to stand up and say, all I can do is just say what the Lord has said unto me. Do you ever wonder how it would be if the religious world in general started speaking just what the Lord says instead of what people think along these lines? Well, I turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, and I begin with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, the reply was this, you're Jeremiah, you're one of the prophets, you're a good man. And so that was the end of their appraisal. But Jesus said to his disciples, whom say ye that I am? Now they knew that he was more than just a man, more than just a prophet. Actually, to compare oneself to John the Baptist or to Jeremiah is certainly a great comparison. That would be a great honor to be like unto these men. Yet that was not enough, because Jesus was indeed the Son of God. And so when the Lord said to Peter, "Whom say ye that I am?" Peter responded by saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So he, after making this confession, the Lord says, "I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church," not on Peter, but upon what Peter has just said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he says, "I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Wouldn't it be great if all religious people just said what the Bible teaches about the church? The church is not an afterthought in the mind of God. The church was in the eternal purpose and plan of God before the world began. The Ephesian letter, chapter 3, 10 and 11, makes that very clear. "To the intent that now, under principalities and powers, in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now stop and look at the passage again, and you see Paul saying that God eternally planned the church. So the church is not an afterthought. The reason that I bring that up is this. The doctrine that is so common among us, called premillennialism, that the Lord will return to the earth and reign 1,000 years here upon the earth, that doctrine is an insult to the church that Jesus built. They tell us the church is merely an afterthought, that the Lord didn't have in mind building the church. He was going to build the kingdom. And so the kingdom was not built or established as the Lord planned because men rejected it. So he put it off, and he put the church in the meantime to fill the gap until the time that he could bring the kingdom into existence. Well, it's obvious that anyone who has studied their Bible can see that the kingdom of the Old Testament is the church of the New Testament. It is not a matter of something that God thought up on the spur of the moment, but rather something that was planned in eternity, and therefore is vitally important to our redemption. Why don't people just simply speak about the church in the manner that the Word of God does? When I say church, I'm not saying that in the plural. The Lord established one church. I read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16 that he might reconcile both unto himself in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He says there is one body. But remember, he has identified in the first chapter of the Ephesian letter the body as being the church. So he says there's one body, and the body's the church. How many churches would there be? Well, the answer is obviously one. But our world today tells us there are many churches, and that it's right for you to choose the church of your choice. Well, does the Bible hold that up? While it's not a popular thing to say, it's very obvious that the Bible teaches that the Lord built one, and that he wants men and women everywhere to submit to that one body and to be a part of it. Now, the Lord is not the author of denominationalism. He did not bring denominations into existence. He built his church, which is all that he ever planned, and that church was founded upon the fact that he's the Christ, the Son of God. We'll return to our study tomorrow. We hope you'll listen. And remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our announcer.